Father, we thank thee this morning for another opportunity of looking into the Word of God. We ask that thou would open the Word to us, help us to understand it, and as we look forward to these things that are going to occur in the future, grant our Father, our hearts will be prepared for the coming of the Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Will you open your Bibles, please, today to the book of the Revelation as we look together at two paragraphs in chapter 20, if we have the time. These two paragraphs are separated by about three verses, but chronologically they are separated by 1,000 years. Notice Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." Now, if you will, please, skip down to verse 7, where we read, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together in battle, the number of who is as the sand of the sea. And they came up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for ever and ever." We're going to stop our reading right there. The passages of Scripture which we have read describe an event in which all people who know the Bible believe. Their main point of disagreement is when it happened, or when will it happen, and what is its significance. Now, I refer to the binding of Satan. If anyone is familiar with the Word of God, he is familiar with the promise in God's Word that someday Satan will be bound and men will be free from the temptations which he proposes. Men will be free from all the troubles that can be laid at Satan's door. There are two opinions as to when the binding of Satan is to occur. One opinion is that the binding of Satan occurred when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He judged the prince of the world and bound him according to this viewpoint. Related to that opinion is the suggestion that everywhere the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, another link is forged in his chain, another knot is tied in the rope, and he becomes increasingly helpless. I might say to you that that is the most prevalent suggestion as to the binding of Satan. I imagine that by this time, if you have listened at all to my preaching, you know that I do not accept that suggestion concerning the binding of Satan. There are two reasons why I do not. One of them is a very practical reason. Though there may be some people who have no problems with the devil, I am not one of them. I have a great deal of trouble with the devil. He's very real to me. He creates a lot of problems for me consistently. If the devil is bound, then his binding is ineffective, or he has arranged for someone to take his place, because the influence and the activity of the devil is real from a very practical standpoint. But more important than the practical standpoint, for my belief, is what the Word of God teaches. You will remember, as we have studied together the book of the Revelation, I have suggested to you that it is important to interpret the book chronologically, to learn the time element in the book, and to interpret everything in the book accordingly. You will remember that as we have tried to follow that suggestion, we have followed the outline given in verse 19, chapter 1, and we discovered by comparing Scripture with Scripture that chapter 1 deals with the first part of the outline, where John was instructed to write the things which he had seen. Chapters 2 and 3 deal with the second part of the outline, where John was instructed to write the things concerning the present. The present as far as he was concerned, and the present as far as we are concerned. He was to write concerning the age that is known as the church age. Then we discovered from chapter 4, clear through to the end, the third part of the outline is presented. John was instructed to write the things which should be after these things, or the things which would be after church things, or the things which would be related to the future. So we discovered how, from the time the door of heaven was opened, and John was invited to come up to heaven, and the judgments of God began to be poured out up on the earth, in chapters 6 through 19, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself returned to the earth in chapter 19, that we are dealing in the future as we look at these chapters. You realize that chapter 20 comes in that portion of the book that is related to the future. So we would suggest to you that in our present age, on the authority of the Word of God, Satan is not bound. Do not be deluded by the suggestion that he is. He is very much alive, very free, and very real. But we do have the promise in the Word of God that one of these days he will be bound. Now, when will that occur? You will remember that in chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth. He fights the battle of Armageddon. He takes the false prophet and the Antichrist and casts them into the lake of fire. Then he sends an angel to take care of the devil. The battle of Armageddon is yet future. It may not be very far away if we understand prophecy right. At the end of the battle of Armageddon, the devil himself will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. What is the significance of this truth? What does it mean? Well, let's just look together at these verses and see what they say to us. The first thing that we notice in verse 1 is that John saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Do you remember meeting this individual before? Well, you did. You met him in chapter 9. If you would care to glance back there in your Bibles, when the fifth angel sounded, John said, "I saw a star from heaven fallen to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." We learned that that star was an angel. To the angel was given the key to the bottomless pit. We learned in chapter 9 that he opened the bottomless pit in order that a great horde of demons which had been incarcerated there would be let loose to bring havoc and trouble upon the earth. But as we come to chapter 20, this same angel opens the bottomless pit, this time not to let someone out, but to put someone in. Who is this individual whom he puts in? Look at verse 2. He is the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, the Satan. Remember, we have found him spoken of in this fashion already in the book of the Revelation, and when we did, we realized what a dangerous person he was. It might be wise for you to turn back to chapter 12 and see what that chapter says about the devil. In chapter 12, the record is presented to us of his being cast out of heaven for the last time. You see, at the present time, the devil is privileged to enter into the council chambers of heaven and to lay an accusing finger on all the saints of God. And he delights to do it. He tells God everything he can about you. I don't know why he thinks so, because it never has happened. But he hopes deep down inside that God may get tired of you when he tells him some of the things about you, and God will forsake you. That's why he accuses you before God. But will you notice in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He's an ugly creature. He has it in for you. In chapter 12 we learn it was quite a battle to get him thrown out of heaven. It took Michael and all his angels to do it. But now, over here in chapter 20, when God is through with him, when God has let him run his course, he is so bereft of power that God sends one ordinary angel, not an archangel, mind you, one ordinary angel, not a number of angels, but one ordinary angel. And that one ordinary angel lays hold on the devil. See how weak he is? When God says, Thus far shalt thou go and no farther, that's the end. God casts him into the bottomless pit and binds him up there. Now, we're not going to take the time to talk to you about the bottomless pit, because if you will remember, when discussing Revelation chapter 9, we gave you a detailed discussion of the bottomless pit. That's as far as we're going to be able to go today. We hope you'll be listening to the program tomorrow, so that whatever blessing God has in store for you in relation to it, you will be able to receive.